Hey.
Hey. What a shit year. We're going to be out of it before we were out of it in 2008.
I don't know about that. We were out of it pretty fast in 2008.
Well, I mean, so what, all I remember is that we were 13 and 14, and then I don't actually remember what happened.
Yeah, but I feel like we were pretty far back of the Angels.
Oh, right. They kind of caught fire, didn't they? Okay, well, I'm going to check. So, let's see. Where were we after 34 games? Holy shit, we lost a lot of games. Wow, we went from 13 and 14 all the way to 15 and 26.
Yeah, so it's kind of like how we went from 11 and 11 to 13 and 21.
It's a lot like that. Okay, well, that's enough for the podcast. I think we can just print that, post that.
Okay, done.
For the audio player, just use the HTML that I put up for the game thread. It's a new one. It uses files that I directly uploaded to the site, so it should never fail.
Okay.
It took me 45 minutes to find. That was a lot of fun. Who needs to sleep? Let's just find an MP3 player, because the other two, for some reason, just stopped working.
I know, that was weird.
Yeah.
Especially since, like, they still showed up and worked on the other threads.
They would have sort of made sense.
Well, like on the old threads. The ones that had already been published.
No, it still didn't show. Oh, did it? Let me. I think they went away.
Oh, I thought I was still seeing it.
I'm going to prove you wrong. Yeah, no, they're gone. There's nothing. There's still a thing that says block, like from Adblock, but there's nothing actually there. Weird.
Weird.
Weird. Wow, this is going to be our 15th podcast. Impressive.
Okay.
That's a lot more than I thought we did.
Oh, I don't keep track.
I just look anyway. So let's see. The Royals fired them, and you want to talk first place Padres fever?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Matt Latos threw a one hitter today without a walk against the Giants. They swept they're 3.5 games up in the West.
It's pretty. And the Giants are a really good team.
The Giants, well, they're good. I know they're like. Their OPS plus and their ERA plus combined to be really good, but then that was before they just got swept by the Padres and scored like.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, they were a good team and they've been playing well, and the Padres just steamrolled them.
Yeah, I think the Giants. I think they benefited from playing shitty teams early. I think they had the Astros and the Pirates in there. Confirmed they played the Pirates.
I don't know. They haven't played the Mariners yet. I wasn't ready for this.
No. You know, why don't we just start recording? It'll be an emotional podcast.
I was thinking we were fine the way it is. I think we started out fine. Oh, I think let's just go with this.
All right, cool. Yeah, no warm-up. Holy shit. Oh, man.
We're flying without a net here, people.
It's great to have a podcast after breakfast with the Mariners, because that means there's still got some energy. There's no lull, which is good because I got a schedule to keep anyway. I think I'm going to see Carson Cistulli for the first time tonight.
Oh, man, I'm disappointed that I won't be there.
You can still make it down here.
Huh?
You can still make it down here.
Yeah.
Now no, we're going to the warm-up phase.
Yeah. No. It was fine, and then we just got off track. And
Padre fever. So let's just do a little quick recap. The Padres today beat the Giants 1-0 on the power of... Holy shit, I didn't know this. Okay, so Matt Latos, complete game showdown, one hitter, 6 strikeouts, no walks. And the Padres RBI, it was a run scored in the 5th inning, driven in by one Matt Latos. Wow. The two stars of the game on Yahoo are Matt Latos and Eli Whiteside. And the Latos single scored somebody named Lance Zawadzki. This is the team that's 22-11. They're tied for the second best record in baseball. And they've earned it. They've been good.
They've been like the inverse of us.
Yeah.
That's so sad. Like, it was fine when we were 2-6, and it was like, oh, whatever, it's only 8 games. And, yeah. I mean, even that was still pretty depressing, but it was like, oh, we can get over this. But we're rapidly running out of time, and we're rapidly falling way too many games under 500.
It was clever what you did right there, because you changed it from the Padres to the Mariners, even though the Padres are way more compelling. By the way, the top 5 in their bullpen combined a strikeout-to-walk ratio of 4.2. Second best in baseball is like 3.3. The Padres' bullpen has been incredible. Everybody's been good except for John Garland, and even his ERA is 1.71. The Padres are amazing. They lead the majors in stolen bases, And they have a lot of strikeouts, which is weird. But the Mariners are 13-21, about to drop to 13-24, which means that, yeah, no, this is dire straits. We're 6.5 back now.
Yeah. Yeah, and even though I don't think Texas has the horses to really pull away, if the rest of the division plays like crap, then they don't really need to. They get to just keep playing like slightly better than crap, and they'll trounce their ways to 92 wins.
Looking at the last 10 that they show in the standings, 10 games ago, the spread in this division was 1.5 games.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, Texas is 2 over Oakland, 5.5 over the Angels, who suck, and 6.5 over us, because we suck. And the thing about the Rangers is, so the A's have a lot of injury depth. The A's have had their injury problems, but they've basically recovered everybody, except they couldn't really recover for injured Dukeshire. Injured Anderson clearly has been a big blow. Ben Sheets has kind of figured it out lately, but still. The A's had depth everywhere but the rotation. The Rangers just have depth pretty much everywhere. I mean, Chris Davis was terrible. They've replaced him. Smoke has been pretty good. He's getting better. They were missing Kinsler, but they covered for him all right, even though the players weren't actually good. They still covered for him in the short term. Missing Nelson Cruz, they've managed. And, I mean, they just called up Derek Holland from AAA yesterday, which is, like, what a weapon. Derek Holland is way better than people give him credit for.
Well, he's been way better this year than he was ever before, so that's something. I don't think he was an exciting prospect, but he certainly he's taken a big leap forward so far this year, so I don't think it's unwarranted to say people have been caught off guard or a little underappreciative of him.
Yeah, well, last year as a starter, he had a huge home run problem. He allowed 23 in 21 starts, but he had good strikeouts, not too many walks. He had really good stuff. He missed some bats, threw strikes last year. So him coming up, him being like their sixth starter it's a luxury, even though I guess he's definitely arguably their best starter, maybe their second best starter.
Well, kind of like how you could think of it in the way that we were 11-11 and we just got Cliff Lee back.
Yeah.
And that Cliff Lee was kind of like our sixth starter who we just called up from AAA.
I'm never writing another post titled, by the way.
That's like, I don't know. The talk about the Oakland thing kind of, I saw some people talking about, or I guess it was on like an AN or whatever, talking about like their bad luck with injuries or something like that. And that was something that's like kind of irked me, because it's like, well, you built a team that was built on injury risks.
Yeah.
Like you, it's not bad luck when you heavily invest in injured players and they get injured again. That's not bad luck. That's why you were able to get them.
I mean, it's weird. Like Kurt Suzuki got hurt, somebody like, okay, Travis Pluck, by the way, that's like number one on his resume. I get injured. Ben hasn't been very good. What do you expect? Brett Anderson, I wouldn't call him an injury risk, but he's a young starter.
But he's a young pitcher who threw a ton of innings last year.
Yeah. Dukeshire clearly is an injury risk.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Dukeshire has ever actually not been injured.
Yeah. It's just like, what? I don't know. It sucks that Milton Bradley flipped out and needed I don't even know if he flipped out, but needed, you know, has admitted that he wants emotional counseling. We had to put him on the restricted list. That's unfortunate. Is that bad luck? I don't know. It just doesn't seem like, we're not going to flip out about that because, well, you know, that was the risk of Milton Bradley.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, we in theory planned for it. Not that our roster is anything like what we imagined. If there's good that comes out of this Bradley thing, and I guess there could be a lot of good, we have no idea what his counseling is going to do. But maybe, yeah. I mean, what this is doing is it's giving Langerhans an opportunity to draw fucking walks all of the time, and it's giving Michael Saunders an opportunity to show that, hey, he's a Major League Baseball player now, and it's important when you see what he's doing now to kind of realize, okay, he's not going to keep being Albert Pujols. He's going to run into some struggles, but if we can get Saunders to even, like, hit, I don't know, 270 with power 260, he's a good player. And considering where he was last year and how he started, there's a lot of concern that Saunders maybe fell off the map, but credit to him, he's battled back in a big way. He's done what Adam Mora can't do.
Yeah, it's really refreshing to see a position player prospect come up to the Seattle and not do what, well, not act like Michael Saunders did last year.
Yeah. Where even last year, I don't know how many hits Saunders had last year, but half of them were bunts. It wasn't even an impressive whatever he hit.
Yeah, no, it was all drag bunts.
God, fucking Jimenez. How much do you think – I mean, so he hit that first home run. Now he just flipped out. How much do you think that home run is eating at him? When the Rainiers were here in Portland a couple weeks ago, I was planning to go down and interview Michael Saunders, but then I was sick. I didn't have my voice, which is why we didn't do a podcast last week. And also, I talked to Mike Curto about it, and he said, oh, yeah, Saunders kind of, you know, on edge, not real happy with himself on account of the not getting any hits. So what I wanted to ask him, so, hey, do you go to bed and think of Chris Jimenez? Not in that way, but, like, the other way. But I never got the chance. So maybe
might not have been the best time.
I could ask him now, I guess.
You could ask him now, yeah.
But he's never going to come back. Or if he does, I'm going to be mad.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. It's... Yeah, like I said, I had a throwaway comment in the game thread that I think the best case scenario about this Milton Bradley thing is, like you said, Saunders and Langerhans getting a chance to kind of establish themselves and show that what they can do as players, and then when Bradley comes back, that sort of hopefully forces their hand into getting rid of one of our DHs.
Alternatively, they can just cut a reliever and keep everybody.
And that's the other thing that kind of. People keep talking about, oh, well, they could cut Sweeney or they could finally get rid of Coleman. It's like, no, they need to do both. That's the point. Griffey, Sweeney, Coleman, and Sean White are four people on this team that we could get rid of right now, and I don't think anybody would notice.
Well, we'd notice.
I mean,
we would
notice, but I mean, like, as far as the performance goes, the team would not get any worse. They wouldn't get any more inflexible. There'd be no managerial decisions that are actually hampered, other than the ones that Walk wants to make, but now can't.
Yeah, my favorite fun fact, sorry to interrupt, but just yesterday, Sean White got a strikeout. It was his second of the year.
Remember when we thought he was toast because of his shoulder, and then he came back in spring training and looked really good? Yeah. I miss spring training. I never thought I would say that. I miss spring training.
Oh, man, I miss a lot about spring training, Mike Sweeney. You know what I really want? My dream fantasy impossible scenarios of the Mariners are like, hey, Sweeney, you have a minor league contract. Well, he doesn't anymore, but like, hey, you want to, we'll cut you. Nobody will pick you up because you're Mike Sweeney. So we'll just keep you in the minors. And then I can interview him in Portland and be like, so Mike, let's talk. We have a lot to talk about. Instead, I'm just going to have to track him down on the internet. That's a little weird.
Yeah. Though in all honesty, understandably, they're not going to cut both Sweeney and Griffey. If they kept Sweeney and ditched Griffey, I guess I wouldn't be all that upset as long as Bradley got the lion's share of playing.
No, mountain share is fine. Mountains are big, especially volcanoes.
I agree with you. Sense. Saunders is your primary left fielder. Bradley's your primary DH. Langerhans is your fourth outfielder. Sweeney is your right-handed pinch hitter and occasional DH starter against, like, I don't know, maybe lefties.
Yeah, it's clearly not a great situation, but Sweeney.
Wouldn't be bad. That would be a good team.
And for everything we harp on with Sweeney, I mean, he has some life left in his bat. He hits the ball hard. He doesn't. He's not good. We know that. He's not Griffey. Griffey is depressing, but it's not depressing because I don't give two shits about Griffey.
I don't. I want to temper these words. If my choice was between, like, 2010 Sweeney and 2009 Griffey, I'd much rather have 2009 Griffey. Because Griffey took a lot of pitches. He took a lot of walks. Yeah, he was done, but he was still getting on base, and he was making pitchers work. And one thing that infuriates me about Sweeney is that he just hacks at everything. It's like the worst versions of Uni and Lopez, but in a white guy. It's like,
and
how
slow.
Oh, and slow. And it's just so irritating to see this when we built this team now with, like, Kochman and Langerhans and Figgins and even Ichiro to an extent and Gutierrez. It's just like everybody is taking pitches and plate patience. Yeah, and then it's Mike Sweeney. Hack, 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 hack.
Like, you know what?
You're a bad influence on Lopez. Not that he needs a bad influence, but.
You know what would be really interesting is if the team ever did go back to a six-man bullpen while it's still relevant, is having Langerhans kind of fill in as a stopgap first baseman because Kochman is not doing so great.
Yeah, but he's still really, really unlucky. I looked at the remember that Woba versus Woba R thing that I had posted about before. I took a look at it again yesterday. He's lost 7.5 runs to for better or worse bad luck.
That's pretty rough.
I mean, that's huge.
That's like 9 singles.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, pretty much.
I know. So, there have been a lot of cases where we've seen it. He's hit the ball hard. Even a lot of his ground balls are hit well, or they're not. They don't hit the ground until they're like at the dirt, you know? So they're not rollers that he hits.
Yeah.
He kind of hits whatever is in between a grounder and a line drive, I guess.
Yeah. So it's just one of those, much like with Figgins, he just needs to, I'm fine with him. I don't think he's the problem. Well, I mean, he's kind of a problem now, but it's more of a bad luck problem than a bad process problem.
So let's talk, how does Griffey go away? There's been enough leaked. I mean, there's no way.
It's on the front page of ESPN.com even.
Right now?
They talked about only talked about it. Stark talked about it. The headline was "Goodbye, Junior."
Oh, a difficult dilemma is what it is right now. This is a bigger story than Trey Hillman getting fired. Steve, okay, what here doesn't fit? Junior's final chapter. These are the four headlines. Junior's final chapter. Trey Hillman fired. Steven Strasburg and Hank Blaylock deal. Wow. Anyway, so they're not going to cut him. It's impossible. They can't do that. They can't absorb, no matter how many people start to get on him because he allegedly fell asleep. They can't cut him. So
especially if the team's bad. That's like the sort of thing. It's like if the team was good and he was blocking somebody, then you almost could cut him because then you could distract the casual fans with, hey, winning. But when they're bad, everybody's mad anyways.
Yeah.
And the vitriol on the post-game shows, like if they had cut Griffey and then had a loss like today, how many people would be calling in to like Brock and Salk being like, well, you know, if we'd had Griffey there to pinch hit, that would be their go-to response every time. So they can't do it. I think it's got to be a DL thing.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to retire in the middle of the season.
No. So what I think we're going to have to look for, and this is just me spitballing here, but I think it's going to come slow. It's going to be, hey, Griffey tweaks a knee, can't pinch hit today, out of action for a couple days. It's going to just start slow, kind of inconspicuous, so they can build it and not be – we can't wake up tomorrow and have headlines like, Griffey placed on 60-day DL with torn talent ligament. Like, it's going to start slow. Maybe they'll put him on the 15-day DL. Then
it'll be just like
this
Jack Wilson thing.
Yeah, except there'll be a next step.
Yeah, then the next step will be like kind of when he's supposed to be nearing getting off the 15-day DL. They're like, oh, well, it looks like he needs to have his knee drained again, so we're going to put him on the 60-day.
Yeah. And, you know, if Bud Selig complains like we're bending the rules, then what the fuck? Just stick needles in him. Drain his knee anyway.
Nobody would complain. Nobody in MLB would raise a fuss about us keeping Griffey around, but on the 60-day DL. Like,
not a chance.
Everybody else benefits, too, because he's still a huge icon and a draw and a popular player. So, yeah.
Of course, then you know what happens is against the end of the year, Griffey kind of reflects on his experience and thinks, you know, I don't want to end my career on the DL.
So well, that's the thing. If we put him on the 60-day DL now,
oh, right.
Or, you know, well, not now, but, you know, in a couple of days, and he hits the 15-day, and then he hits the 60-day, that puts him back around, you know, middle of August, maybe. Mm-hmm. So then he comes back off the DL when we expand the rosters to 40 men, and then he gets to kind of, you know, finish the September as the bench bat and maybe get a few starts if we're out of it or, God forbid, somehow we've, like, put some distance between us in a playoff spot somehow. I don't know, but either way, that would be perfect. He needs to go on the 60-day DL until September 1st.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. And holy shit, it needs to happen. Because the more we lose, the less I'm going to care, and the more they'll just get emotionally off the hook. Like for my emotions, where I'll just think, whatever, we suck, and we'll just reflect on the first month and a half as a missed opportunity.
I already do. This is what's so... I don't even have frustration in me right now, but if I could summon frustration, that's what I'd be frustrated about. I wasn't prepared for this.
No.
I was prepared for the team to be maybe, you know, a 78 win team. And yeah, I was prepared for them to lose games like today, but to be 13 and whatever they are, 13 and 21.
No,
it's
46. It's 13 and 46.
Oh, wow. That happened fast.
I'm in the future.
Oh, damn. I did not have the walls built up for that.
No, it's
not
it's,
for the team to be bad. I was ready to accept them being good. I was ready for them to expect being average.
Mm.
and being frustrating, scuffling to score runs, but preventing runs, and et cetera, et cetera. But man, this is a whole another level.
We've had,
and even in 2008, we were we came into the season like this team is not good.
Yeah,
it got way out of hand, but we were prepared for it to a certain extent.
Yeah, we came into that year mad. Remember?
Yeah, this was a year of us trying to like hold back our hope. Our hope was like that drunk guy who just thought somebody insulted his girlfriend and he wants to go fight the guy, and all of us, and we're like the sober friends trying to hold him back. The drunk guy was our hope.
instead,
he finally broke through. That's when we were 9-7, and then he slipped on the floor, hit his head against the bar, and now he's out with a concussion, and he threw up all over himself, and nobody wants to touch him. Yeah. Perfect,
yeah. Vomit. Vomit and concussion. Drunkenness. You know what else sucks? We've completely wasted Doug Fish from Jason Vargas pitching way over their heads.
I know.
Just throw that away.
Well, and Goody and Cliff Lee and the first couple starts, that's the irritating. I feel like all the good parts about the season feel like they've just been wasted. Especially Cliff Lee. Like, no, please don't let this be the 1 year of Cliff Lee, especially since he is so good. He's so good and so much fun to watch.
He is the most fun pitcher I've watched since Randy Johnson. I'm going to say it right there. And I
agree. And it sucks. It just sucks. I don't want him to be here for like 2 months.
You know, when we I'm going to interrupt you again because I think you were going to say something else. And you can say something else later.
Talking.
But when we first traded for Cliff Lee, I was really, really excited. And I looked at him and thought, oh, he doesn't really miss that many bats. That's interesting. I wonder if I'm going to get annoyed by the hits that he strings together. No, because you know what happens is he doesn't necessarily miss bats, but he gets ahead of everybody 0-2, and the contact is bad. He throws so many strikes. It's Carlos Silva didn't walk people because he allowed balls in play immediately. Cliff Lee doesn't walk people because he's just good. He's a very good pitcher, the best pitcher the Mariners have had in a long time. He's better than Felix because he doesn't have those dry spells of frustration and, you know, losing his temper. Granted, it's been three amazing starts, so maybe there is a dark side to Cliff Lee, but I think the dark side of Cliff Lee is Cliff Lee leaving.
Yeah, no, it really is. It's just that makes me sad.
We should use one of the draft picks on a guy named Cliff.
And I also really don't know what we're going to do next year. It's a little, I don't want to start thinking about next year, but.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things we can do is maybe try to trade with the Padres.
Oh, man.
Next year is a depressing picture in the rotation because I don't need to spell it out to you, but basically it's us now without the two guys we've been waiting for all season long.
Right.
And hey, at least less Ian Snell. But, you know, the free agency market is... Jack would have to swing a trade unless, you know, a hypothetical Michael Pineda becomes good really, really quick. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. We'll have plenty of June, July, August, and September to think about next year.
I know. Yeah, wow. So, this is such a hard time to talk about the team right now.
Fuck Josh Wilson. He's my new target, except he's not because I'm already over it. Fuck Rob Johnson. Rob Johnson gets a fucking break from everybody involved with the team. Mike fucking Blowers is like, oh, it's hard to catch with the catchers. He's a catcher. He's a professional catcher in the major leagues. He's been catching for a long, long time. He's been catching. Okay, I get it. He's like Felix Hernandez and Brandon Lee, these are hard people to catch. But you know who can do it? The bullpen catcher. Like anybody who is
anybody else.
Unfathomable. How bad. It doesn't hurt that much, you know. Rob Johnson dropping a ball isn't gonna cost us the season, although by the way, it totally could. But like you watch him, even pitches with nobody on base, pitches that aren't third strikes, he just drops them. I make a little note. I have a notepad that I keep on my side. This is old news. When I'm watching a game usually, so I can take notes until I lose interest or the Mariners are bad again. And I make little notes in the margins of pitches Rob Johnson drops so I can gif them. And today I have 6 notes. I'm not going to make 6 fucking gifs of Rob Johnson dropping the same goddamn pitch or letting it get through him. Like, okay, it's a ball in the dirt. It's a ball in the dirt. in front of the plate. Put your body in front of it. You're a human. You're big. A baseball is small. It's not going to bounce. It's not a cricket ball. It's not going to bounce away from your body. It's not going to, like, bounce towards third base after it hits in front of the plate. No, it's going to bounce forward. It's going to hit you unless you are, like, not playing butterfly. He thinks he's an example of a stand-up goalie that I can't think of right now because there are no stand-up goalies anymore. He's just so fucking terrible, and he can't hit. Remember when he was drawing walks? Remember when he had that home run early in the season? Yeah. No, by the way, he's hitting 50. Like, that's his average. He's batting 0-50 or something. His new strategy is not being more patient. He's more patient, but he's not smart patient. He's not swinging at strikes. He's swinging at the same amount of balls. So he's, like, he's taken himself and thought, how can I be me but worse? But I'm still better than Adam Moore because Adam Moore is a fucking embarrassment back there. Job share. This is exciting. Yeah, we can have more OPS and 750. And Josh is going to be better now that he had all those surgeries. Yeah, surgeries on his eyes. So we can see the ball bounce away from him. Except he can't even fucking see that because he just gets lost like a fucking puppy when he can't find his bone. Rob Johnson is the least. I want to rerun that fan gauge Rob Johnson poll again now that everybody's nice and bad. Everybody's like making. We're sugar in a pot and we're just being caramelized. Like, we are sweet, but hot and steamed, and I want to run that poll again, and Rob Johnson's, it's going to be, I love Rob Johnson. I like Rob Johnson. I don't have a strong opinion of Rob Johnson. I don't like Rob Johnson. I hate Rob Johnson. I want Rob Johnson's testicles in a burger, and I want to eat them. Oh, shit, I just... I like... Rob Johnson sucks. I'm going to be back in the...
that was epic. I will say I don't know if necessarily rerunning the Rob Johnson poll would do much, because... I think everybody already hated him. I don't know if there really was anywhere to go down on that sort of spectrum. But and it really is sad that as bad as Rob Johnson has been, and he has been, he's been so bad. Adam Moore has been like twice as bad, at least at the plate.
That's, by the way, everybody, Rob Johnson's CERA is worse than Adam Moore's.
Who keeps track of that? Baseball Reference?
Baseball Reference. It's hard to find. There's so much on that website.
Everything is on that. Attention people who ask us inane stat questions, search Baseball Reference first, please. Yeah.
Maybe we should have a help navigate baseballreference.com open thread. We're like, I want this stat. Go to Baseball Reference. I want this stat. Well, then you have to go to Baseball Reference and click on this page. But everything is there. So much.
Yes. Also, if you have a question about what happened in the game, it's called MLB.com and then game day. I know you're on the internet because you're on the internet asking me what just happened in the game. By the time it takes us or anybody to reply to your comment and type out fully what happened in enough detail that you'll actually get what happened, MLB game day will have updated. Just go there. It's not hard.
I love the people that come by and ask, like, so, hey, I was doing this. What happened? Like, you deserve the non-answers you're going to get. Sometimes I get mad, like, the community, myself included, we won't answer legitimate questions. We'll just give people shit. But some people just deserve the shit that they get. Like, if you answer a stupid question that you can't just look up yourself, Yahoo Sports, by the way, loads way faster than MLB.com if you want to, you want a quick rundown of what happened, and it's perfectly fine. Yeah. It's accurate.
Or ESPN.com, or CBS Sportsline. There's any of seven different places you can go to get a play-by-play of what's happening at a Major League Baseball game at any time. It's not hard. It's just, you know, it gets us on edge, and then we tend to get pissy at people who actually deserve a full answer to their question. And then that gets me even more mad because I feel like we're turning away potentially useful commenters.
Assets.
Assets?
They are assets.
Assets.
You are not people.
That's true.
Collective.
I said commenters. I didn't say people.
They are but numbers to me. Numbers of which we're drawing record amounts, by the way. You are statistics.
So I was going to dispute your... Adam or Rob Johnson's not swinging at fewer balls. At least according to Stat Corner, he is. I don't know how. I don't know what Fangraph shows. And I don't know how they calculate what's in zone or not. I don't know if it's somebody who's marking each pitch or if it's an algorithm or what. So I don't necessarily fully trust it. Uh-huh. Well, and even they say that he's swinging at less balls. So you're just completely making up.
So,
attention, everybody.
Okay.
Nobody ever listened to anything Jeff says.
God damn it. I'm in the future. I know what I'm talking about. Rob Johnson, here, I'll say this, not including today, yesterday. Rob Johnson is O-swing. Everybody knows what O-swing and Z-swing are, right? By this point, like, you're not, if you're on Lookout Landing, they don't know what those are. It's because you're somebody who just goes in the game threads and doesn't actually read the front page post. If you're one of those people, fuck you. Although, if you're listening to this podcast, you're not one of those people. O-swing, Rob Johnson, his O-swing is down 5% from last year. His Z-swing, his strike swing, is down 16%. So I exaggerated maybe a little bit. He is also swinging at fewer balls, but he's swinging at way fewer strikes. And you know, maybe that's good because it's not like he hits strikes first.
Well, he's just not swinging. I mean, coming into today, he went from, you know, roughly around 40 swinging at about a league average rate, which is about 45% of the pitches. He's at like 35% now. It's just huge. It's a huge drop off. And even if it doesn't, he's not doing anything with it. Like, it's caused him to see an additional half pitch per plate appearance, which is, again, it's one of those things like, it would be nice to have a worthwhile catcher, but if my choice is between Rob Johnson and Adam Moore, I'll at least take the hitter who's working the count before he does nothing. It's like what I was talking about with the Sweeney versus Griffey thing. I don't expect either of them to do anything, but at the very least, take four pitches before you ground out rather than three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Rob Johnson still has, at least again coming into today, a .313 on base percentage, mm-hmm. which is bad, but it's not Adam Moore, and it's .192.
I can't believe what. So we can. Rob Johnson he's demonstrated some ability to get on base a little. He's hit some balls hard. He did legitimately get robbed in that one line drive to center with the bases loaded like a week ago or whatever, which is. It's sad that we have to go back that far just to recount that ball in play. But the organization loves Rob Johnson and Adam Moore. There's a reason they're both are catchers. Adam Moore's a rookie. Not a lot of organizations would trust a kid like that. They like them. They like their skill set. We have the worst catching situation in baseball. I'm not going to say any more than that. Just know, no matter what they develop into, right now we have the worst catchers in baseball, and the organization likes them.
Yeah.
Our blind spot.
It's pretty frustrating because if Rob Johnson just had average defense, mm-hmm. I could really talk myself, and I think I could talk a lot of other people into being excited about him even. Because there's some decent signs. The drawing walks, the not swinging, the working the count, and even his outcomes have been pretty unlucky. He's got a .211 batting average on balls in mm-hmm. play coming into today. That's massively unlucky. His regressed WOBA has him at .328. Which is right around league average. So, I mean, if he was having normal luck, there's a case to be made that Rob Johnson could be almost a league average hitter, which as a catcher is, I would take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And if you paired that with league average defense, like a league average hitter and a league average defense at catcher, that's valuable, especially for somebody who makes nothing and is, you know, young enough to be, you know, that he's going to stick around until he reaches a free agent, and then he'd go off and be a backup for somebody for a couple million dollars more than we want to pay him. But the problem is he combines potentially average defense, but is snake bit with, oh my God, the worst, literally the worst catcher's defense I've ever seen. And that includes what's his name with the Nationals who got run on and caused his hardened manager, Frank Robinson, to cry.
I have looked that. It's Matt LeCroy. I've looked that up.
I thought it was Matt LeCroy.
Times.
Yeah. He caused his manager to cry. He was so ashamed. Rob Johnson is worse than that. Except our manager doesn't cry for shame. He congratulates him. It's astounding.
It really is kind of amazing. I mean, Rob Johnson hasn't been catching for as long as most catchers have, I think, right? He'd only started in, like, high school or something.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I've heard that a couple times, but I think I've always heard it from you, so.
It's hard for me to understand what could possibly make him so bad at catching a bit. Like, What? I have nothing. It just seems like such an elementary skill. Like, does he do this in warm-ups, or is it when pitches are moving? Like, is he bad at catching a baseball, or is he bad at catching, like, pitches? But Adam Moore doesn't do the same thing, right? Adam Moore just has his other problems.
Yeah, Adam Moore just had the catcher's interference problems. Well, and he also has some pass ball issues.
Yeah.
But I think those are probably more fluky, because he doesn't back up all those pass balls with, oh my God, he just dropped a fastball in the middle of the plate.
But Johnson really does do that. It's not just balls in the air that get by.
It's like he calls a fastball, it's in the middle of the plate, boom, pops out of the glove. Could you imagine if he played the field? I mean, we're pissed at him now, but oh my God, at least those kind of like things are more just like symbolic of an overall problem, but they don't actually cost us anything. It's just like, it's fun to get mad at him for it.
Mm-hmm.
But if he played the field and he did that, oh man. And then could you imagine the manager be like, well, we think Rob Johnson's a really quality, I don't know, whatever he would be, left fielder, but he keeps dropping balls. That would be absurd, right? Except that's what the Mariners are doing, and they're not seeing the other side of this. Or they realize that they have no better option, because they really don't.
No. I mean, we've talked about Josh Bard, and Josh Bard is a major league catcher. He's a major league quality catcher. But let's see. Let me click on this link and see that Josh Bard is currently... Well, he's not been too terrible in Tacoma. Okay, so Josh Bard is probably... He's better than Rob Johnson, or he's better than Adam Moore, at least. He's
definitely better than Adam Moore.
But, I mean,
and he's a switch hitter.
And he's a switch hitter, and he's got attitude, which is the kind of thing which just stir this team up a little bit. And he played for the currently first place Padres, so maybe he could bring some of that fairy dust over. But he's not on the 40-man roster. Somebody would have to go. And when I say
man,
I have some ideas,
there's like nobody that we can remove from the 40-man roster, is there?
Yeah. I mean, if things continue like this, they have to lose more, right? They can't just shatter his confidence this young.
No, they got to send him back down.
Shit, he's 26. He's as old as Rob Johnson.
Yeah, he's a year younger than Rob Johnson. Like, that's the thing. Like, oh, I don't. Yeah. I was always excited for Adam Moore simply that he was, like, maybe less. He was not as bad as Rob Johnson. But it's never that I thought Moore is, like, the catcher of the future, because the future's already passed him by.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking at Jason Hayward the other day, last night, and. Jason Hayward, he has the longest home run in baseball this year. He's averaging 410 feet on his home runs. He's drawing a lot of walks. He's hit for average. He's 20. And it's like, oh, that's nice that he's real and that we have Matt Tuihasosopo. I mean, we have Saunders, and Saunders is OPS currently higher than Hayward's, but, you know.
Yeah.
We could use... I can't really say that we could use a franchise player, because we have Ichiro, we have Goody, we have Felix, we have Lee. Like, we have... The core is okay, but, man, it would be... And I'm spoiled, I guess. I'm greedy, because we have Ackley coming up, too, and Pineda is a good prospect.
Well, it'd be nice if Ackley would hit.
Like, he's come on lately, right?
He's certainly gotten better, but he started out like... It would be nice... If Ackley wasn't so far behind Strasburg, you know, it's like, yeah, we know we missed out. Could you just, I don't know, not rub it in our faces so obviously.
I love that the Nationals right now are in the race with their best starting pitcher in AAA.
Yeah.
I mean, he's who knows how good he is. I mean, he's phenomenal. His OBP against in the minors is 176. Like, and the ground balls are everywhere. He doesn't get hit. He has, so far, again, like six starts or whatever, been exactly like him and Hayward have, like, taken the hype and be like, yeah, we are that good. Like, where's the disappointment?
Yeah, you know whose number Strasburg's reminds me of in the minors? Lincecum's.
Hmm.
Just the very obviously, like, yeah, he's, no, what, why even bother?
Yeah?
There's no point. He's going to come up and... I don't know if he's going to translate to the major league success like Lincecum did, but just as far as his minor league numbers, they're just—it's like it's too ridiculous. Just call him up. There's nothing he's going. What is he going to work on?
That was my favorite thing. Like, the Nationals sent him down to work on his mechanics or whatever, is like his repeatability. It's like, if the Mariners put Griffey on the 60-day DL, yeah, we'll have a reason. It won't be the reason that we say, like, it's clearly the Nationals just come out and say it, like, we want him for longer and we want to pay him less. Like, we know it. The league knows it. Let's just be honest. Honesty is the best policy. Even in, I mean, the Washington's last GM got fired because he was dishonest and incompetent. But, like, let's just, you know, we want Strasburg, but, you know, there's other things in mind, and we're actually a bad team. So, no matter what our record says, God, they're not that good.
No. I really, this is so frustrating. I know moves can't happen this fast, but realistically, running it down, more so Adam Moore needs to get demoted. Josh Bard gets promoted. Colum A needs to go either on, they could even use this injury thing and just put him on the DL for a while if they feel that he actually is going to get snatched up in a second. And you know what? In his defense, he has not pitched poorly.
No, he really hasn't.
He's been fine. Yeah. He's just kind of redundant on the team. And we do not need this many relievers. So, and I think he's the easiest one. I mean, really, if you want to get rid of Teixeira too, if instead of Colum A, I wouldn't argue one way or the other. Although, again, Teixeira has been fine.
Yeah. And we have him for a while if we want him.
Yeah, it's just one of the things where it's like, we need to get down to six relievers. And Ardsma, Kelly, League, and when Lowe comes back, those four need to be there. Who you do with the other two, I guess, you know, you're pretty much going to have to be like Ian Snell and Ryan Wilson-Smith, because you can't get rid of either of those two. So that basically means Colum A, Teixeira, White, those three need to go. We get Bedard back, we shift RRS to the bullpen, Moore's gone, you bring up Bedard, Griffey needs to go, and we need to get, I guess maybe Hanahan back up there, just so we have another backup infielder.
But right now he's.
I know he looks bad, really. But you know, Michael Saunders looked like ass in Tacoma too.
Yeah, but at least Michael Saunders started getting going later. He had a good week in Tacoma or something. Hanahan hasn't had that yet, and granted, he will when he gets things.
I know, but
out,
he also but. Hanahan has. He had last year in the major leagues. We know what he is. It's not like he suddenly lost everything at however old he is, 26 or something like that. He's coming back from his injury, and he might not be ready right this instant, but. He can come in and he can play defense.
Yeah. And you know, and we talk about this. And, I mean, I completely agree with you. I don't know why I wouldn't. But these are moves to salvage, to make the most of a roster that is already 6.5 games out of first. Like, we would need some kind of boost. We can't just... Right now, the roster that we thought we had...
I understand that. Like, I can see why people would think that it's like, oh, man, we need to, like... We need to trade for Miguel Cabrera or something like that. Like, we need a huge overhaul. I'm not sure we do, because we keep losing these games like this by one run, by two runs. I understand the moves that I talk about are, like, minimal. They don't appear to change all that much. But I do really think that, like, just changing this team by, like, half a run a game or one run a game could be enough. It could, that could be the difference between us losing 6-5 and us winning 5-4. Mm-hmm. And we just start. You just got to start winning games. It would, and we also have to be realistic about it. It's not like the team can pull off another like Cliff Lee trade. We're not going to just find a 5-win guy just hanging around. Mm-hmm. They're not out there, and we don't have the trade chits to get one. If he was, so, you know, maximize what you can, and then get back to the original plan. The original plan was sound. Mm-hmm. You know, trust in Figgins to his hits to start finding holes. Trust in Lopez not to look this bad at the plate. He's not this bad.
No, he can't be. I mean,
much like he's not this good in the field. I don't know how he's been this good in the field. Because God, he's been good in the field. What the hell?
Yeah, I can't go. There's no like clue. I can't go back in time and think, oh yeah, right here. This is the indication that he's gonna translate well. No, there was none of that. It was like, oh, here's a fat, lazy second baseman. Let's move him to third so he gets fewer balls in play. Oh, and
yeah,
by the
like,
way,
well,
now he's like
makes,
amazing.
It kind of makes sense in theory. Oh, and maybe he'll be passable at third base, except now he's the best defensive player in baseball, according to UZR.
And defensive run saved, I think he's number two. So it's not just one.
Yeah,
stat.
He's definitely up there. And it's not even just the stats. He looks good.
Yeah.
there's not been like one play where it's like, oh yeah, Beltre gets that. No, yeah. There hasn't.
Well, there's
how does
okay,
this happen?
So, yeah, I have no idea. And then you just start to wonder, did it get in his head? Is he spending all of his time can he only think about one thing at a time?
That wouldn't surprise me.
No, I mean, I'm sure he's kind of a moron. I mean, there's no reason to think he's not a moron. He has twice as many double plays as number two on the team. God, that's... he's not only making outs, he's making double outs. But the thing about Lopez is the same with the thing with a guy like Beltre, where their at-bats are so bad that when they're going bad, you can't imagine them getting out of it. Like,
yeah.
He's just trying to swing his way out of it. It's not going to work. He's just hacking. He's always looked bad. He's never had a good approach to the plate, and it's worked. But there's just something wrong with his wrist. Is he using a bad bat? Is the weather too cold right now? But no, there's none of that stuff to left field.
There's no power.
The left are missing. They're falling short. It's weird. Yeah.
It's frustrating, but you know, his underlying numbers don't look that off. He's swinging less, which is good. He tends to be swinging less at strikes. He's really kind of what you were talking about with Rob Johnson is more applicable to Jose Lopez than Rob Johnson. But he's also swinging at less balls, so that's good. You know, his contact rate, it's not like he's swinging and missing more often, because he's not. Mm-hmm. He's swinging less, which is good. That's something we always wanted him to do. It's just there's no power anymore. And he's mm-hmm. like everybody else on the team getting unlucky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this team is... I feel like this team is like two parts bad and eight parts unlucky. And that's why I figure, like, if we can just make those small moves, we can get rid of that two parts bad and end up being like one part good.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just kind of have to hope that the luck changes. And really, that's what you have to hope for anyways, because this team was never going to be good enough to have a buffer like the Yankees.
Right.
You know, where they could survive some bad luck. They can't. This team cannot survive their Mark Teixeira OPSing 650 for the entire mm-hmm. year. The Yankees can.
Mm-hmm. It's to the point now where our playoff odds are under 5% now. Realistically, we are huge long shots. But
yes.
It's also to the point where it's weird, because you can say that. You can say the Mariners are 6.5 back on May 13th. That's bad. Or you can be like, well, if you're going to stay optimistic, the only thing you can do is be like, okay, we need to gain like a game, two games every month. And all you just break it down. It's the same as like one game at a time. You break it down to the point where it seems palatable. And it skews it. It makes it seem less significant than it is, because we are in a huge hole. We're in like the hole outside of Sparta kind of hole.
Yeah.
But it's still, you know, it's hard to say the season's over when there's 128 games left and you're out by 6.5. No matter what the odds say, I don't know. I can't wrap my head around it. I know the odds are right, but it's like the odds don't say all of it, you know?
Yeah, and I also think some of that's based on, it depends on which playoff odd, you know, system you're using, but a lot of that will be depending on, the average team over the course of baseball history that's gone 13-21 probably isn't making up a 6.5 game deficit. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the Mariners have a chance to be an atypical 13-21 team.
Mm-hmm.
They have a chance to be a mid-eight, true talent-wise, a mid-80 win team. They have a chance to be, on paper, the best team in this division.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that kind of tempers some of those odds a little bit. They could be – this team, it's not over. It's not over, but they can't they need to make the right moves from here on out. And, boy, there's just nothing in their track record that says that they will.
You know, it's funny. So I think it was emails, maybe it was podcasts where I said, okay, I'm going to give this team until the middle of May to kind of figure out this designated hitters are worthless and that they'll kind of get back to what we expected. Well, it is pretty much exactly the middle of May now. So I think, as Dave said a little while ago, the gloves are coming off. At this point, it's clear what the Mariners need to do. Now they need to do it. There's no refuting the moves that you've suggested.
There's no more, you know, Griffey feels in the best shape of his life, blah, blah, blah. There's none of that. There is nobody defending Griffey at this point, which is hilarious, because you know who wasn't defending Griffey at all during the offseason? Us. We were right again. We're always right.
That's the advantage of being in the future. We just can't tell you because I want my volcano. These are Game Thread memes spreading into the podcast, so most of you don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, at least this way they won't be ruined.
Yeah, it's I'm just saying.
I had something else to say, but oh, about the middle of the May. I do think the push is gonna shove when Milton Bradley comes back. I think because then they have to make a roster move, and I hope to God it's not just like, oh, we're gonna option Tui again, and then be like, well, but then we don't have a backup infielder. You idiot! We have like six outfielders now. And also the Jack Wilson off the DA. So Jack Wilson comes off the DL in a week. And Milton Bradley is supposed to, I guess they're saying, middle of the next homestand, which is about the same time. So they're going to have two people they need to put on the roster.
Well, so Jack Wilson's obviously going to be, well, it's going to be Tui or Josh Wilson, clearly. And let's see, they have an off day on the 24th in the middle of a homestand, towards the end of a homestand. I guess they can make a move then. But basically, so within the next week, week and a half, oh man, we have an off day on the 24th and an off day on the 27th. That's cool. No, so you're right. The team is unlikely to make moves now, especially since they're on the road. And I mean, the opportunity is coming up soon, but they have to know. Bradley's the last straw. If they screw that up, that's it.
Yeah, well, I said what was... So the other point I was going to make is that you said about mid-May, that like the gloves are coming off. When I heard that quote after... What day is today? Thursday. Mm-hmm. After Wednesday's game, when the lineup would they had Lopez at DH and Tui at third, and then apparently Walk said that this might be like not a one-time thing. And I didn't publicly really say I responded by like how dumb that was, but privately I was flipping out because if that was like the one bright spot of this year has been Jose Lopez's defense at third base. And it's not just the stats. It's readily obvious with your eyes that, hey, he's good at third base. And if they took that and they pissed all over it by putting him at DH to solve the DH problem and then using Tui at third base, I'm like, no, that's it. That is it, Wakamatsu. I've defended you almost unfailingly.
Mm-hmm.
In the face of a lot of criticism, much of it deserved. But I still think you're a better than average manager. That would have been it. That would have been just, that was the point of no return. That is the batting Jose Vidro fourth for a week straight of managerial decisions. That's just like after that, I don't care if you ring off 25 consecutive good management decisions. Always in the back of my mind will be like, well, you decided to play Jose Lopez at DH and Matt Tuiasosopo put third base. So there's no floor to the possible decisions that you could make. There's no floor. And if once I reach that point, it's just like, no, you can't get your faith back with me after you do that. Mm-hmm. That's like cheating on me. I'm sorry. You cheated on me. You're done. I can never fully trust you again.
So let's just hope we don't see that arrangement ever again. Because we don't want Matthew to get cheated on.
Or swear to God, I will write about it so hard.
I will pound on my keyboard. And I'll do it naked. That was a weird thing to say.
Hey guys, guess what I typed this post with? I get angry erections.
let's see, what else is there to... So Bradley's coming back. Blah, blah, blah. Fuck Griffey. Fuck Sweeney. Fuck the catchers. Fuck everybody. Figgins is okay. Lopez is worthless. Pitching staff is okay. Have some problems. But there's so little else to talk about. It's just all the same stuff. When? You know, beating the Rays a little bit this weekend would improve spirits a little bit. The Rays are, you know, pretty good team. And, you know, at home, they're...
The frustrating thing is, like, even if they win... Even if, like by a miracle, like they win the series against the Rays, mm-hmm. like I'll be happy about that. But I'm still going to be thinking about this game and be like, well, that could have been two series in a row that they won. They could be, you know, four out of their last six, building some momentum. Except no, you went into Baltimore and Tampa Bay and came out with a split, which is like okay, but it's kind of like what you should have done, and they're not in a position to do like what they should have done. They need to make up ground, and you just can't lose games like this today. And as equally as frustrating as the fact that they did is the fact that, God, Rob Johnson and fan interference. And no, I don't know if it was definitively fan interference, but how do you not review it? It's a fucking grand slam in the bottom of the eighth inning that changed the entire game. And there was clearly possibly some interaction with the fans. Like, how do you not review that?
Yeah.
It's like it's game seven of the Stanley Cup, and there's a goal in the last 2 minutes that... You know, there's a lot of traffic out in front. Should we review that? Nah, I'm sure it was good as called. Let's just keep playing. We've got a deadline to reach. No! Take 5 minutes to review it.
I want to make such a bigger deal out of that, but right now I don't want it to come off like sour grapes. And also, I don't know for sure. None of us know for sure.
That's one of the things. It's like I'm not complaining about the call because I don't think it's not like I'm certain they would have reviewed it and then overturned it. It wasn't blatantly obvious. I'm just like, how does – whether it falls on the umpire or the manager or Saunders or somebody on the field to just be like, I'm yanking my players off the field until you review that play or something. Or I don't – Brandon Lee just stands on the mound and just refuses to throw a pitch until they review – like something. Somebody needs to have made a fuss about the Mariners that – it's like the Mariners just accepted it.
How did that go by without any complaints? I don't understand.
It shows some fire. I understand that the play might not get overturned or whatever, but it's just the fact that like they seem so accepting of it.
It happened, and the Mariners did nothing. The first thing you think is, okay, if Saunders didn't even get upset, then maybe we misjudged it. Maybe it was not interference. Maybe it was not close to interference. But then we see the pictures. We see the replay. His glove hit fan arms that were outstretched. And maybe Saunders, felt like, I'm a rookie. I don't want to draw too much attention to myself, too much like controversial attention. So maybe he felt uncomfortable in that situation. But everybody's watching. Everybody can see the arms come out. The ball clearly deflected off the arms. Somebody's got to do something. And it was weird. Nobody said anything on the broadcast. No players did anything. The broadcast didn't say anything. They showed the close-up instant replay, and they just said, looks like the fan got it. Like, they didn't raise any stink. It's like, oh, this is so Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear that the fan is leaning against the wall or leaning as far forward as he can, and he has his arms outstretched. Now, whether or not that puts his arms over the wall or not, or whether he's – the contact with the ball came over the wall. But that's why there's instant replay. That's why. It boggles my mind in that they just sat back and they just accepted it. It's just that was like that they – it's like they were beat and they knew it.
And that's really, one of the biggest really plays bad. Of the season right there.
Yeah, and it's as much as like I don't want to – as much as it's like an argument that applies to more fluid team-based sports like football or basketball or hockey or whatever like that, they looked beat, and sometimes you can just see it, on a team. Mm-hmm. It doesn't usually apply to baseball, except maybe like in a hitter. You can tell when a hitter, like, hey, every time Adam Moore steps to the plate, you're like, oh, I know that look. But it just feels like, yeah, I don't know. They're in a funk, and something needs to change.
You know what's weird is they'll. I keep interrupting you. Go ahead.
I never finish my points. Because you know what needs to change. It's they just need to win. Just win. Just keep winning. That will solve everything. Mm-hmm. The clubhouse will come together when they win. They won't win when the clubhouse comes together. That's not. You've got your causal arrows wrong.
At least, a game like today really takes the attention away from the Griffey story.
Yeah, but as much as I thought that was stupid, I was kind of reveling in it because I thought that was at least turning the tide of public. Like, it was making it easier for the team to put Griffey out to pasture.
Yeah.
So it was like one of those things where I was like, this is stupid and I hate this is becoming such a big deal, but go, 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 go.
Yeah. It's like a fight or a hockey fight when you watch one of your favorite players maybe take a cheap shot or something, maybe make a questionable hit on another opponent who's been driving you insane. Or if you're watching a hockey game and your team is down by four, you're just out for blood, and what's smart, and you shouldn't raise hell, but you still root for it, and you still are like, hit him in the eyes! Skate on his arteries! Like, the Cole Griffey thing was blown too far out of the proportion. It doesn't really matter that much, and people are trying to use it to be suggestive of much more than it is. What I do like is the insinuation by Walk that he wasn't asleep, that he was in the dugout. Like, no, he was asleep. Like,
backpedaling on some of the stuff is hilarious. Larry LaRue, I didn't mean to hit publish, which is actually the only excuse I might be able to believe, because I can't actually believe that Larry LaRue doesn't know how to work a computer.
Ken Griffey Jr. pinch hit for Rob Johnson today. How many times in the late innings has Ken Griffey Jr. pinch hit for Rob Johnson? Why would Walk have not wanted to do it that one time? It doesn't make any sense.
Hey, remember the time that Ken Griffey Jr. pinch hit for Sean Figgins?
No, actually, I forgot about that until just now. That's
really stupid.
Of course, looking at it, yeah. Yeah. Man, it's just so... But anyway, yeah, it's blown out of proportion. But what makes me mad now is when other people try to get in on the story and like
national beat writers.
Like, okay, so Rosenthal's done a good job of covering it because he's focused on what's really the problem, and some other people have focused on what's really the problem, but there's too much attention being paid to this actual nap or like Sweeney's reaction, like I'll fight anybody. Sweeney clearly had an intent with what he was doing, if that's what he did. Yeah. I mean, for all we weren't there. Like, people, it bothers me because as somebody on the outside, I'm tired of hearing all this talk about chemistry and stuff, but instead of criticizing, just admit we don't know. We don't know what any of it means. We don't know what players are trying to do, how it works. Like, just this is the kind of thing where, if anything, fans should just stay away because we don't know. We don't understand the dynamic. We don't know if people respect Griffey or not. Like, Dave made that post, and it makes sense. It's a rational post about how this doesn't get written up if people respect Griffey. But Shannon said Itro talked about Griffey falling asleep in his interview with Shannon over the winter, and Itro is certainly a pretty big Griffey fan.
Right.
Like, Lou Piniella has talked about this. Lots of people have talked about it. Like, I think Dave went too far in trying to find out what this means. I don't know if it means anything. I think it was just a reporter was asking, hey, why didn't Griffey hit? And two younger players who didn't know better told him why. And that's it. And I don't know. I just wish people would stop
trying to... We don't even know if like they were laughing while they told him that or something. Yeah. You know, like, oh, Griffey was asleep again, ha ha ha, sort of thing. Like, you can't read their body language when they gave that quote or the undertone or what kind of, you know, tone of voice they said it in. Maybe they were pissed. Maybe they were, you know, joking around, like, because maybe they assumed everybody knew. Mm-hmm. And like, haha, that wasn't really the reason, but here's the reason. Like, hey, like, the way we respond to questions all the time.
We don't know what chemistry means. We don't know what significance it has, and we don't know how it works. This is just one of those situations where people should just... I hate that this story happens in the Twitter age, because this plus like two sentence snark is a terrible combination, because you don't get anything out of it. It's an easy joke, but it's too easy of a joke, and people need to let up on it. Let's just focus on the fact that nobody can hit.
Yeah, there are actual problems with this team.
Yeah, like Griffey. I like it was somebody posted, and this is true. Griffey has a higher WAR when he's asleep.
Yeah, like that needs to be the focus.
Like, what? Like,
man,
what
he's bad.
Yeah, did you watch the game Wednesday?
Yes.
Did you see it? So you saw his pinch hit. You know what I'm talking about with that swing.
Yeah. No, I had the not the exact same reaction as you, but pretty damn close. Mm-hmm. Where it just, it looked like the Griffey swing of old. On a pitch that it just looked like everything, and he even kind of did that kind of slow walk, you know, like the holding onto the bat. It looked mm-hmm. like a vintage Griffey home run, and it went like 300 feet. And I had the exact same thing that went through my head. Once I saw the fielder camping under it, I was like, done.
Yeah.
He is done.
And on that note, we should just end this podcast. And
yes. Much like this podcast, it is done.
And we'll get back to you next week with the Mariners in the middle of a road trip and then a home, whatever. The Mariners are terrible. Play better. We'll talk about it.